196. Happy soul rejoices, the sky is bright above. I'll join the heavenly voices and sing redeeming love. For there's power in Jesus' blood, power in Jesus' blood. There's power in Jesus' blood to wash me white as snow. I heard the blessed story of him who died to save. The love of Christ swept o'er me, my all to him I gave. For there's power in Jesus' blood, power in Jesus' blood. There's power in Jesus' blood to wash me white as snow. His gracious words of pardon were music to my heart. He took away my burdens and bid my fears depart. For there's power in Jesus' blood, power in Jesus' blood. There's power in Jesus' blood to wash me white as snow. I plunge beneath the fountain that washes white as snow. It pours from Calvary's mountains with blessings in its flow. For there's power in Jesus' blood, power in Jesus' blood. There's power in Jesus' blood to wash me white as snow. Ever, my Savior and my friend. It's Zion's crystal river, his praise shall never end. For there's power in Jesus' blood, power in Jesus' blood. There's power in Jesus' blood to wash me white as snow. For there's power in Jesus' blood, power in Jesus' blood. There's power in Jesus' blood to wash me white as snow. Amen. As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. My shield, you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. I want you more than silver, only you can satisfy. You alone are the real joy giver and the apple of my eye. You alone are my strength, my shield. Spirit yield. You alone are my. are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. Amen. Glory.
Hallelujah.
humming. Alleluia. He is coming. Alleluia. He is coming. Alleluia. He is coming. Alleluia. Come soon, Lord Jesus. Amen.
See the lights of glory.
because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives.
Praise the Lord. I was going to speak to you about all things new, and we are going to just kind of talk a little bit first about the creation of the world. If you want to turn there to the first chapter of Genesis. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you for the word of God, and we're believing you to bless this word to our hearts and give us courage, give us renewed strength, Father, to watch and wait for the coming of Jesus and be ready for the soon appearing. Hallelujah. The sermon, All Things New. That's what the Lord has done for us. He's made us a new creation in Christ Jesus, hasn't he? But we're just going to look at things in the Bible where God made things new. We're just starting into a new year. Oh, the last week has been horrible, hasn't it? And if we get our eyes on these things of this world, we're going to be very discouraged. So everyone, let's look up, just as Sister Bonnie was inspired by the Holy Spirit to say that. Jesus Christ is coming. He's coming. He's coming. Be ready, because he's going to make all things new. This stuff is going to cease. In this first verse of Genesis, and we all know the verse, I'm sure, it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. But the second verse says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters. So the earth was created, but for some reason by verse 2, it says that it was without form and void. And that in the original means a place of chaos, a formless place, an empty place, a wasteland. So we think about, well, why would that be, that God would create a world and then it to just be a useless waste? We really believe, some of us do, some don't, but I do. I believe that Satan, when he determined to fall, go above God, and God cast him out of heaven, I think that he caused a chaos on this earth. Now, you can think what you want, but that's really what I feel. And that's why the earth was without form and void. But God had a new plan, didn't he? A new plan. He didn't just stop there. In Deuteronomy 32:4, it says God's work is perfect. So why would God create something that was just a glob that was of no value, see? So there's some things to think about there. That in Isaiah 45:18, it says he formed it to be inhabited, and so he reformed it, didn't he? Because of what we read in chapters 1 and 2 and 3 and so forth, he redid things. He brought the sunlight, he brought the water, he moved the waters, brought forth the dry land. He produced all the animals on here. He created Adam and Eve. I notice we know that the world became very contaminated, didn't it, from sin. There were very few believers that were of the line of Seth, actually small amount of people that were really walking with God. And so God, in chapter 6, he sees that the condition of this world is in terrible shape. I think that's what he's looking down right now on this world, and he's seeing how bad a shape we are in right now. We are in a mess. aren't we? The whole world is lying in distress. And so in verse 3, the Lord says, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. And so he determined that his days would just be 120 years, and that's how long it took for Noah to build the ark, 120 years. And so we know the story about how in verse 8, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and he built the ark. But God had something in mind. He had recreated the earth. The earth was in terrible shape, sinful, totally against God, most of them except just a very few. And so in chapter 7, let's look and see. The waters were allowed to come. The flood was allowed to come, and it swallowed up the whole earth except for Noah and his three sons, Noah's wife, the three sons and their wives. Now, God knew in his foreknowledge that not all the world was going to get on the ark. We might think, well, why did you do that? Made an ark that wasn't quite big enough for everybody. He knows in his foreknowledge. But even into our day today, there are people that are not getting on the ark. You realize that, don't you? We have an ark of safety in the Lord Jesus Christ. By our believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to go to heaven one day. But soon the darkness is going to come on this earth, and it's going to be even worse than it is now. And right now, I believe it's as it was in the time of Noah, where God looked down and was so displeased at all of the things that are going on in this world. So in chapter 7, we're going to read. Let's look at chapter 7, verse 11. Let's read verse 10. It came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. God poured out the rain for 40 days and 40 nights, and the waters of the deep, we're going to read. Let's read that in verse 11. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were open, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And so God allowed this to take place, where these even these deep deposits of water, where he had separated the water and made dry land and so forth, the beginning to create man and put us here, that water then came forth and just caused a destruction. So God had a reason for doing that. And after the time went by, then God let them come back upon the earth. But only Noah and his family were the only people alive. Isn't that something? Now, as I was reading this, I noticed in verse 20, well, let's read verse 19. The waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. So all the high mountains were covered. 15 cubits upward did the water prevail, and the mountains were covered. Now this means that from above the highest mountain, the water was that much higher. And if you figure that up about what a cubit is, that means it was 445 feet above the very highest mountain. That's the way God did it. And then he allowed man to come back, didn't he? Through Noah and through the his Noah's yieldedness. Praise the Lord. Let's look in Isaiah 42. Let's turn to Isaiah 42, a scripture here that speaks about the newness. We're talking about new things. So when God brought Noah and his family out of the ark, it was like a new world. The animals, all the animals had been killed except for the ones that were on the ark. You know, the ones in the water were not killed. You know that, don't you? Yeah. So anyway, they could survive it. So in Isaiah 42, let's look at verse 8. I am the Lord. That is my name. My glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. And of course, in Israel's time right now as we're reading in this book of Isaiah, they were worshiping idols. Many of them were not honoring God at all in their lives. And so God sent prophets to talk to them. And God warned them that he was not going to give his praise to this graven image. And God brought judgment upon Israel because of that. Notice verse 9. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare before they spring forth. I tell you of them. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise from the end of the earth. You that go down to the sea and all that is therein, the islands and the inhabitants thereof. And then verse 12, let them give glory unto the Lord and declare his praise in the islands. But notice, God is going to make new things. Isn't that where we are right now? We are in a terrible time of filthiness, of sinfulness, of wretchedness. But God is going to change things pretty quick here. I really feel the presence of the Lord, that his coming is very, very near at hand. So we need to be ready. We need to be watching and be really vehement in our prayer and our yieldedness to God, because the Lord Jesus is going to come. And new things God is going to bring about. And then he even tells them to sing a new song. Praise the Lord. God has given us many songs to sing. Some are old and some are new, but praise the Lord. Our hearts rejoice because we know that new things are coming. Christ is going to come and things are going to be all right. God's going to work it all out. One thing we see in the Bible, we see the Old Testament and then we see the New Testament. And we know the word testament means covenant. Okay, under the old covenant of the Old Testament and the law, Moses had 10 commandments given to him. They were all under the law. They all had to do certain things. They had to offer sacrifices. We are not under the old covenant. We can get wonderful things from the Old Testament, just like I've been reading. But we're not to go back and try to keep the law of Moses. It's very clear in the New Testament. Apostle Paul's writings, especially that Brother Zelensky was speaking about this morning, really emphasizes that we are not under the law. It says we are not under the law, but under grace. But he also says that as we walk in the Spirit, we fulfill the law. So it's not like I get up every morning and I have to say, today I'm not going to murder anybody. But today I'm not going to tell lies. And then when we fail, hopefully we don't murder somebody, but we fail often in lying or other of those things, coveting, he said. But we are a new testament. We are under a new covenant. The word testament, again, means covenant. And so we have this privilege to worship the Lord under this new covenant. As I said, we have a good time going back to the Old Testament reading things, don't we? Seeing how God was faithful. But we are not under the law. We are under grace. And so this new covenant has brought what? A new relationship. Since Jesus Christ died on the cross, it's different from the old covenant. They had to bring sacrifices and shed blood in the tabernacle first and in the temple. With us, we know the blood was shed. Jesus Christ's blood brought in a new creation. There are just so many texts that way. Just look that up sometime. That's what this sermon is about. And there are many people today that put themselves back under that old covenant. They'll say, yes, we're saved by grace, but we've got to keep it. We've got to obey all the law. Or if we make a mistake, he's going to cast us out. That is not what the New Testament teaches. Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. How safe are we if we're in the hand of God? You see, we're hand of Jesus, and then in the hand of God. Nothing can come through there. So we're going to look in the book of Hebrews now. Let's go over to the book of Hebrews. We've had some reference there in the book of Hebrews this morning in Sunday school. And this book of Hebrews was written to the Jewish people there in Paul's day. But there are many, many wonderful things in this that we're going to look at. And it, of course, all scripture is given for our edification, so praise the Lord. In chapter 8, we're going to read verse 1. What does this new covenant that God has, this new testament that he's given to us, what does it rest on? It doesn't rest on Old Testament rules or Old Testament sacrifices. It rests on the blood of Jesus Christ and the sacrifice that he made. And praise the Lord, it is unconditional. The Old Testament was, the Old Covenant was conditional. You obey God or the earth might open up and you fall in. That's what happened to some of the people in the Old Testament. But in the New, it's new and it's unconditional. Reading verse 1. Now of the things which we have spoken, this is a sum. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. And what does he do there? Another text tells us that he intercedes for us all of the time. He's talking to God for us, praying for us, seeking God for us. It's a wonderful thing to keep that in our minds, that he is there for us. Glory to God. And so we're going to read with verse 6. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Just as I've said, not under the law, that covenant, but under the covenant of grace. It is a better covenant, which has been established on better promises. In verse 7, for if that first covenant had been flawless, then should no place have been sought for the second. See, the Old Testament, the law had some problems, not the law itself, but the people had problems, didn't they? There's no way they could do it. They couldn't keep it. They couldn't keep up doing all the works that were required. And so God's judgment would come on them. In verse 8, for finding fault with them, in other words, God found that they had sinned. He saith, behold, the days come, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, says the Lord. What did they say when Moses received the law? All that thou sayest, we will do. When he got down off the mountain, they were worshiping a golden calf. And they were doing all kinds of unrighteous, sinful things all around, dancing around, while he was up getting the laws of God. And what did he do? He threw it down and broke it to pieces. The first set of the law and the stones that God wrote with his finger were broken to pieces because they'd already broke them. But we know, by living at the time we live, we're not able to keep the law. The scripture, not in our own strength. I'm talking about gritting your teeth and saying, I'll never do that again. And how many times we've done that. I know that probably everybody here has done that in their lifetime. Said, I won't do that again. But if you do that in your own strength, you will do it again. That's the way it is. But under the new covenant, notice this, an agreement, a covenant is agreement made. An agreement that is made is that we are redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ without the works of the law, Paul says. Praise the Lord. Now let's look over in chapter 12 of Hebrews. Going to chapter 12. Hebrews is a good book to talk about the grace of God and how God works in this age we live in. This verse is in verse 24 of chapter 12. It says that this is to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Now, Abel, by faith, brought the right sacrifice. Remember that? There in, I think, the fourth chapter of Genesis. And God accepted his sacrifice. But Paul is saying that Jesus Christ and the sacrifice he made is far better than anything they could make in the Old Testament times. And Jesus was the mediator. What does that mean? He's the go-between between us and God. He stands. His crucifixion on the cross and his resurrection, they stand for the deliverance that we have in Christ as our Savior. He is our Savior. And it is no longer under the law of the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, but it is a new covenant that has been purchased by the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than those old things in the Old Covenant. And then notice in chapter 13, verse 20, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant." Here we are again, the everlasting covenant. A new covenant that was made. How long did it last? Is it in effect now, in our time, or are we under the law, the old covenant? No, we're under the new covenant. And this new covenant is an everlasting covenant. It will never change. Praise the name of Jesus. Back in Ephesians, let's first of all, we're just going to quote a few scriptures to you. Romans 3:28. "Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law." See, we're not under the covenant of law. We are under the new covenant of grace. Now, does that mean we go out and disobey God? No. When we really yield our lives to the Lord and walk with him, we're going to be very yielded. We're going to walk with God. We all make mistakes because we're humans, but we are not under that strict code that if you sin, you shall die, because now we are born again. We have Christ. In Romans 10:4, it says, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." Praise the Lord. So let's go back to 2 Corinthians 5:17. And this is such a beautiful scripture. We love this scripture. I'm sure some of you can even quote this scripture. Again, new. This is a new year we're starting in. It's already started off with a terrible bang, hasn't it? A great big loud explosion. But we're victors in Christ. Verse 17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ," that doesn't just mean men, it means mankind. If we have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, we are in Christ. We are in his body. We are saved and redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. He is a new creation. The word creature actually should read creation, a new creation. God originally created the heavens and the earth, but now he has created a new creation made of all those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. "Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Isn't that a beautiful thing to remember? We are a new creation in Christ. Now we have the new life of Christ within us, and we are part of the new creation. That's made up of all the believers. All the believers that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ are in this new creation, this body of Christ, or the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Praise the Lord, a new creation. Glory to God. Praise the Lord, this new creation, the life of Christ in us. And we're joined to all who believe in Christ, joined to him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He is a new creature, reborn and renewed by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit brought that life of Christ into our life. And we were born of the Spirit, the scripture says. Glory to God. Let's turn to Ephesians. Ephesians 2. And many of us probably quote this. Ephesians 2, verse 8. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Paul is trying to impress on the believers that it is not through their self-effort that they have Christ in their life. It's not because they turned over a new leaf or they kick themselves every morning and say, I will not do that, I will not do that, I will not do that, and then they do it. But it's because we are redeemed, we are saved through faith, that not of ourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So we are created for good works. And as we walk and yield our life to the Lord, that's what's going to be manifested in our life. It won't be the fleshly things that are of the old nature, but it'll be the new life. Praise the Lord. I'm looking at my time there. Let's go to Ephesians, the fourth chapter, since we're right here. And I may have to just refer you to some of these things. I don't like to keep you over time. Okay, in the 21st verse of chapter 4, it says in verse 20, you have not so learned Christ. In other words, you're not supposed to be living in lasciviousness or uncleanness or greediness that were mentioned in the last verse. But in verse 21, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Now we are born again, we have a new life, but we still have this old flesh, this body, and then that fleshly nature. So there is a struggle. There's a struggle, and that old nature will try to rule over us. And it's defeating. And all of us, how many here have never sinned? All of us have fallen at different times. Hopefully not real bad things, but a lot of times it was. Many people have had bad things happen. But does God then hold that against you the rest of your life when you're trying to yield to your Lord, you're walking in the Spirit? No. Those things are put behind his back. In the sea of his forgetfulness, the scripture says, behind his back. So, notice it says, we put off concerning that former thing. And then notice verse 23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And this word is right up here, yes. The old devil speaks to us. You're not an overcomer. You're not doing right, whatever. Of course, the Holy Spirit speaks to us also, but the devil really condemns us, doesn't he? Jesus doesn't condemn us. He encourages us to keep on going, to be renewed. Now, verse 24, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, put away lying. Put away all the things of the old man now. And walk in the Spirit with the Lord. Put the old man down and let the new man reign. And that isn't self-effort. Have you ever tried it in yourself? You failed, didn't you? You can't just grit your teeth and say, I'm not going to do it anymore. Because first thing you know, you're doing it. That's like me eating fruitcake that I'm not supposed to eat. No, that's a minor detail. But anyway. And let's read one more scripture, Colossians, the third chapter. And there are many other places. Maybe you'd like to look up some things about where we are made new. This is a time for us to be made new. Praise the Lord. I think I'm just going to refer to this because I'd like to get to another scripture I have. Let's look down at verse 10. He's saying, and all of this before this is so good, but I'd be here all night to teach you. Okay, verse 10. And we put on the new man. He says, put off the old man in verse 8. Also put off all of these, anger and wrath and malice and blasphemy and filthy communication out of your mouth. And lie not one to another, seeing that you put off the old man with his deeds. And you put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. Who is that? That's Christ. Christ the image of Christ. How does Christ act? How does Christ manifest himself? That's what the Lord wants in our lives, that new life of Christ that we have being manifested outwardly. Praise the Lord. Yielding ourselves to the Lord, and we begin to be renewed. The Holy Spirit comes in and renews us and causes us to get back in gear, get back on the path, start yielding our life to the Lord again. In 2 Peter, the third chapter, verses 9 through 13, I'm not going to read. There it tells us that we're going to have a new heaven and a new earth. All of this right here is going to be gone. And one of these days, it'll be after we're taken to heaven, we will be there, and there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Praise the Lord. And in the book of Revelation, I'm going to read these to you off of my writing here. The overcomers of this age are going to enjoy some wonderful new things. In Revelation, the third chapter, verses 10 through 12, it says there that those that overcome will be given a new name. What do you think that new name is? I've heard a lot of speculation from ministers that said, what is going to be the new name of this group of people that are walking with God, overcoming in this life and going to be there? You know what I think it is? Bride. There never been a bride for Christ before. I think it's going to be the bride. That's just my opinion. Okay. And then in Revelation 5:9, it's talking about those overcomers standing in the presence of the Lord there when he's on his throne in chapter 4. And in chapter 5:9, it says they will sing a new song. I like songs. I like old songs too, but I wonder how beautiful that new song is going to be. Praise the Lord. Isn't that going to be a wonderful thing? And in Revelation 21, verses 1 through 2, let us look there at that one. Revelation 21, 1 through 2. And we've got communion today, too. So please don't run away before you get to communion. Here it just is the end of all things, talking about in 21, 2. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Praise the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? A new heaven and a new earth and eternity. And then in Revelation 21:5, it says, and he will make all things new. Praise the Lord. Behold, I make all things new. Glory to God. Praise the Lord.
Let's turn to 23 in the grace of glory. 2:3. I love this one.
Praise the Lord.
That's fine. I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. It white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's smile and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to him.
washed it white as snow. For nothing good have I whereby as grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all. To him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, I'll lay my trophies down, all down at Jesus' feet. Jesus paid. Left a crimson stain.